PanOM Update News. I'm Lorelei Kinnean, and it's 9:02. A plane crash Friday outside of St. Mary's killed four of the 10 people on board. The pilot, Terry Hansen, 68 years old, died along with three residents of Mountain Village, Rose and Richard Pulte, and a five-month-old baby, Wyatt Coffey. The six who survived the crash are all residents of Mountain Village. National Transportation Safety Board investigator Clint Johnson says the plane crashed at about 6:30 Friday evening, 4 miles outside of St. Mary's. An emergency locator beacon signal helped pinpoint the crash site. The wreckage was located 2 hours later. Survivor Melanie Coffey tried reviving her infant. She walked a mile from the crash. Village Police Officer Fred Lamont Jr. says St. Mary's responders received word of the crash when Coffey called a village health aide seeking help in resuscitating her baby. Lamont says Coffey considered starting a fire to attract assistance, but finally walked to lights near the community landfill where she met searchers. Megan Peters, Alaska State Trooper spokesperson, said troopers and an air ambulance responded to the scene. St. Mary's personnel then transported six passengers out for medical attention.
We had rescue personnel get out there and remove the survivors from the scene and get them the help that they needed. I was told two people were critical and they needed being at a back.
Kathy Roser, a spokesperson for Era Alaska, said the single-engine turboprop Cessna 208 was a Hagland Aviation flight from Bethel to Mountain Village and St. Mary's. Hagland is a part of Era Alaska. Caribou. It's a hot topic this week. The Western Arctic Caribou Herd Working Group will be meeting later this week in Anchorage. There, biologists will discuss herd biology and the population status, which is shrinking. And among other things at the two-day meeting, they'll get a presentation from the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. ADA is planning on beginning the permitting process for a 225-mile road from the Dalton Highway to Ambler. The road would cut straight through the migration route for the largest caribou herd in North America. How will the road affect caribou migration? Well, one road that can serve as somewhat of a proxy is that of the Red Dog Road. The 52-mile haul road connects the zinc mine to the mine's port site on the Chukchi Sea. And regarding the road, caribou biologist Jim Dow began looking at caribou data back in the spring of 2012. He was at a public meeting when road developers were talking to residents in the Upper Kobuk.
And they said, well, gosh, you know, you've been collaring caribou at Onion Portage for 25 years, and we've had a road at Red Dog for, you know, over 20 years. How do caribou respond to that road?
So he began looking at his data. Dow flies that road every fall with about 4 to 6 inches of snowfall to check on the southern caribou migration.
Their trails, you know, pretty much rode out everything that had happened. You could see these big black trails through 4 inches of snow. They'd approach these roads, and then they might parallel them for a little ways, and they'd get funneled down into the apex of a big turn or the intersection of, say, a gravel road with a main road or a creek, you know, a brushy creek intersecting with the road. And then the trails would invariably turn and cross the road. And I was, you know, for over 20 years, I thought, gosh, no problem.
And then he started looking at the satellite collar data in detail. He looked at the travel patterns of caribou from the fall of 2011.
To make a long story short, it was quite a revelation to me and everybody else that has looked at these slides. Caribou were coming down to the road just in fall migration, and not just walking across the road after a 1 or 2 mile deflection like I thought I'd been seeing for years and years. Most of these caribou turned around and walked all the way back up to Cape Thompson and even up to near Point Hope, which is a distance of almost 100 miles.
Dow says many caribou did that loop not just once, but 2 or 3 times before they eventually crossed the road.
They weren't delayed 1 or 2 days or 3 days like I had thought I'd seen, you know, during my flights. I think the average delay based on the criteria that I used was about 44 days delay from the time they first changed direction until the time they crossed the road. And so it was really, you know, looking at the data closely, it was really a different picture than what I had I had thought I'd seen just based on their tracks.
Dow says he, along with folks at the National Park Service and Fish and Wildlife, are looking at how the Red Dog Road affects caribou behavior and migration. With ADA holding community meetings in the Ambler, Kobuk, and Shungnak area regarding their proposed 225-mile road to the Ambler Mining District, data on caribou migration is getting a lot of attention. The Western Arctic caribou herd is the largest herd in North America. The last census was done in 2011 when 325,000 animals were counted. At this week's upcoming meeting, the working group will get a presentation from ADA on the Ambler Road project. The seafloor off the coast of northern Siberia is releasing 17 million tons of methane into the atmosphere each year, according to research in the November 24th edition of Nature Geoscience. Marmion Grimes from the University of Alaska Fairbanks reports this sum is more than twice the amount of methane emission as previously estimated. Natalia Shakova is a scientist at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. She says the gas venting is on par with the methane being released from the Arctic tundra, which is one of the major sources of methane in the northern hemisphere. She says this increase could be driven by climate change. Methane is a greenhouse gas more than 30 times more potent than carbon dioxide. In the seabed, methane can be stored as a preformed gas. As long as the subsea permafrost remains frozen, it forms a cap, trapping the methane beneath. However, as the permafrost thaws, it develops holes which allow the methane to escape. This melting is partly due to warming water near the bottom of the ocean. Frequent storms in the area cause it to discharge into the atmosphere, much in the same way stirring a soda releases the carbonation more quickly. The findings are the latest in ongoing international research led by Shakova and researchers at the UAF International Arctic Research Center. Shakova says the team's findings speak to the need for further exploration of the subsea Arctic. The price of gold in New York is not available at this hour. It's currently 9 minutes after 9 o'clock.